This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, you know, I'm a little hot. It's a little warm.
a little hot.
A little bit hot.
Wow. You think this has been bad? Wait till we get to what? August?
August.
Yeah.
Now, if it's this hot in May, what will August bring us?
I know, right?
It's going to be too much. I think we better leave town.
We may have to just move to Alaska.
Well, I'm thinking maybe let's go toward the Bahamas or those islands where they've got all that beautiful blue water. It's cool and, you know.
Yeah, now that would be nice. I think we could go down there and we could live under the sea and become mermaids.
Well, let me tell you something. I've seen it on television, and you know if it's on television, it has to be the truth.
No, right? That is true.
I mean... And they're showing all these people from the States are moving to all those islands, and they're little small islands, and they're buying these little houses. They're right on the beach, and they all say, oh, I want to walk down to the water. It has to be close enough.
Yes.
And so they're retiring down there where there's absolutely nothing. Doesn't look to me like a little village, perhaps,
yeah.
And they just go get in the water, and they're snorkeling, and they're canoeing, and they're doing all this, and I just don't know.
I also hear Belize is lovely this time of year.
Yes. How many days would it take you to go stark raving mad when it's a small island, and you don't even use cars? They have no cars.
Oh, really?
You have to go there by boat, excuse me.
Wow, well, that would be kind of cool.
Okay, I think you'll fit right in there.
Yeah. Most people would go crazy within like 20 days. I think I'd probably be fine forever.
Yeah, you'd be fine. You don't need the car.
No.
And you'd be out on that water every day.
Yeah.
And gosh, you'd come in at sunset.
Yeah.
And you'd probably have a nice cold drink.
Yeah.
Like a Dr. Pepper.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I knew that would work.
So this sounds like paradise to me. I see no trouble.
you see no problem with this game, right?
No phone, no internet, no running water, nothing. I'm good with it.
You're good with it. Well, I saw it, and they had showers on the outside of the houses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you come up from the beach, got all that sand on you,
yeah.
You just turn on the shower outside and shower off.
Yeah, that way you don't drag all the sand in the house.
That's right. And a lot of them are open. I mean, breezy open, where, you know, you've got that breeze all day long going through it.
There's like no walls. It's like a garage with no walls, but it's a house.
It's a house. And now then the others were condos on the beach, and those were facing the water and... Yeah. You know, you could look at your balcony in the mornings and have your breakfast out there and go right on down to the beach and spend the day.
Throw you up a carport, throw a cot mattress in there, and you're done.
I love the way you do it. Gonna do it. Oh, my gosh. Well. And, of course, you'll come back without a wife because, you know, when she can't go to the nice stores and buy clothes.
Yeah.
She will go stark raving mad.
That is true. I think, though, down there in, like, Belize and the tropics, I think you make, like, grass skirts. So you wouldn't really need to go to, like, the department stores or anything like that.
Mercy. I didn't know about that. They didn't mention that on television. They just said, you know, you're going to love living here. And you can have this. And I saw some big houses down there in those mountains.
Yeah.
They had some beautiful mountains.
I'm starting to feel like I'm living in my own fantasy world inside my own brain, and it's not actually real.
I think you're right. I think it may not ever be real. Who knows?
Now, that would be a good place to go.
Phone number for people to decide that we have gone stark raving mad.
Yeah, it'd be a good place to go to, like, when you retire, like for a month or so to visit. But you probably don't want to move full time. But to get to that place, you have to start saving for retirement. So yeah, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. And I'll repeat it, 877-588-3330. And we're right next to Ivy Cottage at 3105 Big Spring.
So now when you talk to people and they come to you and they're planning for retirement, and if they say, Faye, here's what I want to do when I retire. I want to travel. I want to do what kinds of dreams and plans do people have for retirement before they get there?
Well, their dream is to retire where there's lots of water, mm-hmm. where they have a boat, I know all about it, and where they have a nice home that has water that you can actually drink, and it has trees outside and grass, where that they can have beautiful setting. And then they're going to travel a lot. They're probably going to Belize.
See, now you got Belize on the brain, don't you?
Yeah, since you mentioned it. But, a lot of people, their dreams are to get out of town.
Yeah.
You know that. If you've lived in one city all your life, most people do not want to retire there. They want to retire what they think is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be, depending on where they go. But they feel like they need an exciting life, that they want to be active. Nowadays, no one wants to just sit down in a rocking chair. That'll get you dead real quick.
Yeah.
But they have different speculations, but most of them that I know about are retiring on a golf course, or they're retiring on a lake with a golf course.
Yeah. So it sounds like a lot of these plans they're wonderful, but they can be a little bit expensive, because on top of all the traveling and the moving, and you still want to be able to grow your money. You still want to make sure you have enough to actually live every single day. And so when the traveling and the retirement or the traveling and all that ends, and you get into your settled day-to-day routine on retirement, you still need to be having some money coming in. You still need to be growing your money, because you've got to live. Emergencies could come up. Things could happen. You never know. You don't want to just have an account and then just let it just drain. You still need to be able to make some money. Now, I think a lot of people don't always take into account what happens post-retirement. And so that's really part of the whole plan. It should be part of the plan for retirement as a whole. It's not just, hey, what do we get to retirement? Let's make sure we have enough to retire. It's after that. Do you find a lot of people haven't really considered that, or they're not really worried about it, or how does that fit in?
They haven't had time for it to sink in, mm-hmm. that when they actually retire, what will be required.
Yeah.
And once they realize that you, if you take your principal down every month for 20 years, you will have the prospect of running out of money. But if you've got interest income every month of your life, yes, you will do fine. You're going to have that interest income. You can't just say, I've got $500,000. Well, my gosh, how long do you think $500,000 in our society would last?
That's not going to go long at all.
Not very long. So I encourage people, let's think about this. Let's talk about it. How much per year are you going to need after you retire? And okay, then we know you've got this much, and then how much interest are you going to have to make to live? So we go over this whole thing. We figure out the interest income. We figure out the principal. How can we make it last a lot longer? So that's always my goal. We've got to make it stretched out and make it live a long time. And different people have different amounts of money. A lot of people have made good decisions, and a lot of people have just left the money sitting there, which that isn't going to help. And then some have made bad decisions and lost a lot of money. I had a couple come in this week, and they had lost close to $40,000 in the stock market in the last 4 years.
Whoa!
I mean, they waited all that time, go to the stock market, and they did, and they've lost $40,000.
Wow. That's not only money wasted, but that's time wasted, that people were not growing their money. Instead, they were losing their money.
That's exactly right. So it was a very, very poor choice they made. So now they've woke up and they've called me and said, you know, we've been listening to you for years, but obviously we did not put our money in the right place. So then they wanted, their most important question was, can it go down like in the stock market? I said, no, it cannot go down because it is a life insurance policy. They're going to pay you the face amount no matter what happens. They will not ask you to take a discount. So that was good news to them to learn that, this program, the money doesn't reduce. And they said, is it guaranteed to make money? And I said, they're going to pay you whatever the contract calls for at the end of the term. In other words, when the people mature, in other words, when they pass away, that's when you get paid. And they will not ask you to take a lesser amount. Whatever your contract calls for, that's what you will get. So if you've got an 18% coming at the end of the term, that's what you'll get. If it's 24, you'll get it. Now, if it comes in early, you won't have to wait for 2 years. It may come in at 18 months or 20. You know, we've had a lot lately that have come in 6 months and 12 months. So that part's not guaranteed, the exact date it's going to mature. We don't know. We think we're real close on it, but lots of times, like Fasano, we had another one come due this week, and it had a Fasano on it. And I asked him, I said, well, what did Fasano say? And Fasano had said it was going to be 30 months. And we did it in 17.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, they're always so conservative. It'll always come in my opinion, several months early if it's a Fasano. And the other thing is, sometimes that cancer is a lot worse than what the records show. And if it is, it may go a lot faster, and that does happen.
Why is Fasano so conservative on their expectancies?
I don't know. I've never asked them, but I know that they've always been very conservative, especially on pancreatic cancer, which we know, you know, pancreatic cancer is usually 9 or 12 months.
You know, this has really got to be an advantage for the investor, because they're thinking, they go into it, you know, anticipating, say, for example, maybe a 30-month policy. And then when it comes in, like in this case here that you're referring to, comes in 17, they have to be thinking, my goodness, I just made the same amount of money in almost half the amount of time that I expected, which means I can turn around and start growing this money even faster, which means it ends up being a win-win for everybody. So investors must love that.
I think they do, because when we send them out a little deal, they always send something back like, you know, hooray, or thank goodness, you know, that it came in early.
They send you bouquets of flowers.
That's right. But, you know, it does change their thinking a lot when they realize that a lot of the policies will be coming in early, and a lot earlier than what I anticipated and what they anticipated. But I've always liked the 28 to the 30 months, because when those come in early, you've made that money much quicker than you anticipated. So you can reinvest again in the same year, you know, and that's what I like. And I think it really pays off doing it that way.
I'm going to throw out a scenario here, and I'm not really sure if this is accurate. So please set the record straight here, because it sort of sounds to me like when you have a policy, you know, that is like 28 or 30 months, and it comes in early, it almost sounds like there's a little bit more wiggle room with a policy potentially coming in early with these longer ones, and by long I mean 28, 30 months, as opposed to, you know, say like a 12-month. So, you know, with the 12 months, it's a very small window and a very small opportunity for that to come in early. But it sounds like these longer ones maybe have a greater potential. But then again, on the other hand, they could actually go the 28 months. Well, and there's nothing wrong with that. But is that accurate? Is that an accurate assessment of what's going on here?
It's pretty accurate. I look at it this way. The shorter ones, you know, 12% is a good thing. It might come in 8 months. But if it's already that short, it may not come in a lot shorter. As you know, we've had some that come in 6 months instead of 12. Mm-hmm. And my deal is, which is just a personal thing, that I think a 28 or 30 when it comes in early, you know, that's my type of deal. But now I've got some customers that they like 12 months or shorter. And maybe it's because they're getting older, and they think, you know, they need to get all their money in as quickly as possible. I don't know. But everybody has a different opinion. And I've got notes on everybody's account as to what they like or what their opinions are. And I know one of the girls at the office was saying the other day, well, you know, so-and-so, this is what he wants. And she said, you've had me write it down, and I look at it every time. And I said, that's what you need to do, you know. If he's saying, I don't want but 12 months, we'll do 12 months, you know. Mm-hmm. And last week I might have misled someone because one of our clients from Houston called and heard me talking about this 14-month policy that we're fixing to do. Well, we're not ready yet. I was just talking about it in advance that we're going to do it. It's not quite ready. And, of course, he called the office and said, put me in it. You know, and Kimberly calls me and said, what do you mean, put him in it? She said, we're not that far along. I said, I know, but I wanted him to know I was getting ready to do it, you know. And she said, well, we can't do it right this week. And I said, I know that. But anyway, I should have been more careful. I should have said, we are fixing to do a 14-month, okay? Instead of saying, I guess it sounded like I was going to do it last Monday.
It's on the horizon. It's not here yet.
Yeah, and
coming.
I didn't mean to mislead anyone.
Sure.
We had several that we had to do. We had three $2 million ones.
Oh, wow.
And those had to be done first. Mm-hmm. They have to get everybody in those. So this other one will be behind those three.
Do you find that people, when they first start out with a life settlement like this, do you find that they kind of sample around a little bit, try the shorter ones, the 12 months, and then try some of the longer ones, you know, 18, 30 months, 28 months, somewhere into there?
No,
do they sample
to
see what they like?
They have to take what we have to start with.
Okay.
I might not have a 12. I might not have a 14 the day they walk in.
Okay.
I may have a 28 or a 30 or 24.
So
we're going to start them off with what we have that is suited to them.
For the first time investor, when they come in, because I know you were referencing a couple of people who prefer the 12 months and that's all they want to be in, that may not be possible right off the bat. The point is, though, these are all fantastic policies. So I mean, it's not like one is like a bad deal. I mean, they're all fantastic. They're all fantastic deals, and they all have many, many advantages. There are a few. In fact, there's specifically three potential risks for this type of an investment. And I know we have to cover them, but when people hear what the risks are and how small they are and how they really don't cut into the profit, I think people will see that this is really a win-win on every level. So what are some of these risks?
Well, the biggest risk, if it goes over, that is the risk if the policy goes over. It could go over a year. It could be 2 years, you know. And now we're not talking about those old people and those old policies we talk about all the time because that is a phenomenon that is never going to happen again because we're never going to do those again.
Yeah.
But the risk is on our policies, it could go a year over. It could go 2 years over, okay? But those older ones that we bought a long time ago, we know how far they are over now. And they're what now? Are they 90 or 94 years old? And we learned a hard lesson. Do not do old people. They're wonderful people, but they're not sick. So we, you know, we want everybody to know that. But that is your biggest risk. If it goes over, can you stand it going over? Of course you can because you're accredited and you've got other policies with us. So we may have two that went over or three, but you may have seven policies, you know? So some of them are going to come in very short, and you can reinvest that rather quickly. Some of them may come in on time, and then there may be some that are going to be late But if you're an accredited investor and worth $1 million or you make $200,000 a year, it's not going to ruin you. Okay.
So when it goes over and you have to pay the premiums, we're talking. I've heard you say 47 before. I've heard you say maybe 1,000. I'm just throwing out some random numbers here. So
it could be any of the above. We did have some last month that I saw for the first time that were 47. And somebody obviously said, "Do you even want to build this?" I said, "We have to build it to have the numbers straight." But yes, there's been some that have been $1,000, $2,000. But again, as I said, it didn't ruin them. They still had profit left.
Yeah. Substantial profit, too.
Substantial profit. It was a small amount in that. And the only ones that would hurt them is those old policies that had those huge premiums.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, back when we brokered that, remember, we brokered that. And when we didn't realize that they didn't know what they were talking about, mm-hmm. you know? When they told us it's going to come due in 12 months or so, it did not. And yeah. since then, we do not broker policies for anybody.
So now
all policy contracts are between us and the clients. And then the bank always acts as trustee and protects your money, protects us too, really. And they take care of the premiums. We escrow premiums on every policy. That takes the risk out of that because you're talking about risk. There's no premium risk because whatever length of time, 12 months, 24, whatever you've got, we're going to escrow that with the bank where we know the money is there. And then when the person dies, another thing is the bank gets the certified death certificate. The bank puts it in your account. And I don't really have anything to do that's safer than that.
Yeah,
and
the
bank take care of it.
That's buttoned up nice and tight, and people can feel secure about their money.
I think so, too, because we don't touch it. We don't have anything to do with it. And, you know, we said years ago we would never touch anybody's money, and we never have. The checks are never made to me or my company. Never, never, never. It's made out to Nevada Trust or Bank of Utah, one or the other.
So what if a life insurance policy goes under?
What do you mean? You mean a life insurance company?
Yes.
Okay. Well, every state has a fund, and the state would pay your claim if it ever happened. Now, these are billion-dollar life insurance companies. They're all A and AA rated companies. We've never had one go under. And the other thing is, if one went under, somebody would buy it so quick you wouldn't even notice that the ink wasn't dry yet. I mean, because insurance companies are worth a lot of money because of the premium income they have. The income for a life insurance company is tremendous. I think they have more income, just daily income, than banks do because banks don't have all this premium coming in, you know?
Yeah.
So that they have a lot of income, thank goodness.
So I know that's the third risk, but it's really, I mean, it's almost far-fetched.
It is, in my opinion, because in Texas, we've never had a life insurance company go broke and not pay a claim.
Yeah. So these people are aware of it, that it could happen. We could also get hit by a meteor sometime, you know, from space.
That's exactly right. I mean, we don't have any control on meters and other things coming in.
So the benefits of a life settlement type of investment far outweigh, in my opinion, from what it sounds like, the benefits far outweigh the risk. It's not even close.
I think so. And, you know, in the last two or three years, our clients have made a lot of money. Now, I do have some that have gone over, and they're having to sit there and wait for that, but it will come due. They're still going to have a profit. And in my opinion, you know, it's just part of it that some of them will go over and some of them won't.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, I've got one client that said the last of the year, I think the last 5 or 6 months of the year, she had a policy mature every month.
Oh, wow.
Now, can you imagine how nice that is?
That's a lot of money coming in.
And I didn't ask her what her tax bill was, but hers are not IRAs, so she's going to have to pay tax at the end of the year on this money. But it's worth it because she still made a really, really good profit.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's important to us. And when you're in these policies, everybody adds money. I can tell you that. I think week before last, I had clients that were already members come every day and add to their accounts.
Really?
Yeah. They were all adding to their accounts and saying, you know, I want to do a joint account with my wife. I want to do a different kind of account. I want a Roth. I already have a regular IRA. And it was all a customer that's already been with us a while. It wasn't new customers saying that. We did have four new customers for the week, but the others were all hometown people.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
so
I thought it was really cool.
It almost sounds like people are putting money into this type of an investment and at the same time taking money out of the stock market. Is that accurate?
That's what they're doing. They're taking money out of the stock market because they've looked down, they saw that all this money they made in New York City, they didn't make it out here in the farmland, okay?
Yeah.
They've discovered that they've actually lost money in the last 3 years. You know, the stock market's been up and down and all around, but they didn't make anything. They've lost $40,000 to $20,000.
Wow.
And I didn't know what they were losing. I thought maybe they'd all made money, too. But then when they called and said, you know, I need to come see you. I've been listening to you for a long time, but I made a mistake and, you know, went into the stock market right here at this age. And I don't know why in the world, if you're middle-aged, you'd suddenly get middle-aged crazy, said, now's a good time to go in the stock market. Wrong. It's not either.
Middle-aged crazy.
Yeah, that's what happens, you know.
They
wanted that red pickup all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know?
So. Yep. It almost sounds like people are trying to find ways. They may be saying to themselves, oh my goodness, we may have waited too long. Let's get in the stock market and let's try to make a big bang real quick. It is so risky on Wall Street these days, especially with the way that things are in the world. It almost sounds like it's not worth it because you can lose, like you said, 30,000 or 40,000 in a big hurry, and it takes years to recover from that.
It really does. The last go around was 7 years.
Wow!
And you know that is money. If you'd had your profit at the first of the 7 years, can you imagine what you would have made?
Yeah.
Instead, it took you 7 years to get even, to get all your principal back. And with us, you're not worrying every day about getting your principal back. You're just relaxed and saying, when that person passes away, I get paid. It's a simple equation.
So it almost
doesn't make sense.
It sounds like, you know, while it took people 7 years to get their principal back, it that's 7 years that they've wasted because now they're essentially starting over from ground zero again.
That's exactly what you have to do. You have to start over, and you have to rethink your portfolio and say, if this happens again before retirement, what in the heck am I going to do? You know, if I don't have a profit and I don't have all this money, what are we going to live on?
Yeah.
Remember, wives don't take kindly to that.
No.
No. They do not intend to change their living arrangement. Did you know that?
I did know that. As a matter of fact, I did.
Yep. I mean, it just, they don't deal with that real well, I can tell you.
No. So let's do a little quick comparison here. I've never really asked you this before, but, you know, say, you know, we were talking about the risks a minute ago of a life settlement. We know that they're very small. We know that there are three of them. This compared to the risks of the stock market.
Well, it's a completely different situation because when you're buying and selling stocks, whatever that trades for that day is what it's worth. And the next day, if the stock market goes down, your portfolio is worth a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to guarantee you one dime. They're not going to say, we guarantee to give you all your money back or guarantee a profit of 5% or 10% or 20%. They don't do that. They just say, every day stands on its own. If it makes money before you get out, you get it. If it doesn't, we're going to take it out of your account.
Wow. So it's almost fair to say, I would say it's fair to say, that a life settlement is a type of investment opportunity where you grow your money over time. If somebody's looking for that quick, hey, I'm going to invest my money today and then tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be rich, or if they're looking for like the lottery type of payoff, this is not the situation for them. I don't know of any type of realistic type of investment that can do that and is on the up and up. So to do it healthy, to grow your money in a way that you're not at risk for losing everything in a hurry, this is the type of investment for them, because the life settlement happens over time. It happens, the way the concept works is that you invest in a policy, and then when you get paid for that, you invest that in another one, and then when people are diversified and over time, they've got that nest egg that they need to go ahead and get to retirement and then keep going after retirement without, you know, the anxiety and the stress that many people feel on Wall Street. It's that slow and steady, but it's solid. It's a solid type of investment.
That's right. And we're not going to make you rich overnight. Anybody that says that has got you on their radar for a quick money deal, you know?
Yeah.
What we do is with life insurance companies that are reputable, that are the biggest in the United States. So that's their first clue, that it's legitimate. You know, we're doing it with life insurance companies. We're buying policies that people have entered into a contract with a life insurance company 5 years ago, 10 or 3, whatever. And, you know, you become part of the ownership of that life insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the way to go on things. You know, do something that doesn't have a downside. In other words, they won't tell you that you're not going to get all your money. The life insurance company is going to say, whatever the claim is, that's what we're going to pay. And if it's $1 million face amount, the life insurance company is going to pay it. They're not going to try to jip you and say, well, we're just going to give you part of it. They don't do that. So I think that takes a lot of the risk out just up front. You know you're going to get your money back.
So investors
and whatever the contract calls for, that's what you're going to get paid by the bank.
It has to be comforting, especially for first-time investors, to know that, hey, this is what I'm going to make when the policy matures. So really it's just a matter of you set it and forget it, and when the policy does mature, the money goes in your account.
That's exactly right. And it takes 6 or 8 weeks to get paid. And the bank, as soon, because it takes them 2 to 3 weeks sometimes to get a certified death certificate. As soon as they get it, they send it to the insurance carrier and say, here's the claim, here is the amount, please pay. And they do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've never had one that did not pay a claim.
Never?
No.
Wow. That is
every claim we have is up to date and paid.
Nice. This is your
now,
money.
We did have 2 or 3 ex-wives get involved. Oh my gosh, I'll never forget last year when that came up.
Oh yeah, you spent a little bit of time having to battle that, but you got through it and everything is okay.
That's right, and we put that money right in their accounts. But it taught us a lesson. If they've had more than one divorce, check it for how many. I mean, you've got a new checkoff list with us. Used to, we said, if you've got been divorced, here's what you have to have for the ex-wife. But now we know to say, ex-wives, if you've had more than one, we need to know about it. Oh, my gosh.
It's now a plural statement instead of just singular.
That's right. And a wife can come back 10 years from now and swear on a Bible that by grab, it was her money, and she ought to get it. But in the end, they will settle for 1 cent on the dollar because they know it's a lie.
Wow.
So you just kind of have to know about those old girls.
So what happens when like, family members and people come through and they try to claim, so-and-so's life insurance, and they promised me this, and I should have had that, and blah, blah, blah. What happens when that type of scenario happens?
Well, you know, we've never had it except these 2 ex-wives. The rest of the family, we've never had them come and file a claim and say, it was made out to me, because, you know, we're very, very careful. When we do this, We ask the person, okay, your wife has to sign on, your current wife? Oh, yes, he says, we can get them to do it. And then your ex-wife? Oh, yeah. But we've never had the children, nephews, nieces come in or try to get the money. We've never had that happen. It was just these two ex-wives last year that were determined that they, by golly, were going to have them some money. You know, they were going to get them some money and go places and do things. And, you know, when we got almost to trial, and our lawyer, which is probably one of the best trial lawyers in the state, he sent their lawyer a deal, and he said, you either settle now or you're fixing to lose big time, and we will get a judgment against your client. I think we will settle. Pennies on the dollar for harassment, I'll tell you. But we learned a good thing. How many ex-wives do you have or have had in the past?
So when somebody goes to sell their policy, you make sure, okay, who you do that research, who could come out of the woodwork and try, even if they won't succeed, who may try to claim this, even though it's not rightfully theirs. You know that.
That's right. And so now we ask about all wives. You know, you don't think about men having ex-wives. I didn't. I mean, one maybe, but not several, you know, two or three. And that one, it's been 10 years, and she shows up.
Wow.
Well, she found out he died. And she said, oh, my goodness, I see the money. It's right there if I can just put my hands on it.
Wow. Well, people do all kinds of things when they think that there's a large stack of money coming their way.
They really do. And when they see that money, they immediately hire a lawyer. And the lawyer, he's gleeful, too. He thinks he's going to get a big settlement because he's taking it on contingencies, you know, and because they don't have any money to pay him or don't want to. And then he finds out he's not making any money either. So both of them are just out of luck.
Wow.
So, yes, that's all that's happened to us in the last two or three years. Those two ex-wives, the rest of it, it went rather smooth.
So when you buy these policies, the investor can rest assured that all the homework has been done and everything is going to be fine.
That's exactly right, because that's the way we're going to do it. We have lawyers to check everything, you know, and we always check all these different things. But who would have thought that we would have to? But it's that kind of world, and the legal has to be gone through, just like, you know, we don't talk about it a lot, but all the medical records, you know, we're switching that around. We've always just required one. And our attorneys now say, no, you've got to have two different opinions on under a million. Over a million, we've always had two opinions. Mm-hmm. He's saying, now let's go ahead and have two opinions even under a million. So, you know, we're doing that to comply with what he thinks. This is a precaution.
So that's just another layer of safety measures that are in place.
It is. And we have a lot of safety measures, a lot of security in place. But now, you know, we're doing that to up it just a little bit more even.
Wow. Brilliant. So it really is a safe and secure type of investment. One of the most safe and secure that's available, I would say.
Well, I think it's secure. Nothing is 100%. We tell you that every week. There's always risk. But the risk factor is low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage, who the husbands should be in there daily right now getting those wonderful Mother's Day gifts.
Oh, my goodness. Well, every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia, and there's always interesting things that you bring to the table. And sometimes you have wonderful ideas, you know, for the family to do, wonderful ideas for vacation, things to put on your bucket list, interesting facts about Texas. What's the topic of the day today?
It's Mother's Day.
All right.
Tomorrow is Mother's Day. We always celebrate it when?
In May.
The second Sunday in May.
That's what I meant. The second Sunday.
Second Sunday. Oh.
I couldn't do the math quick enough.
You just couldn't do math this morning. My goodness. Well, Lord, one thing that I've discovered this week, women do not want any more cups. Do not give them those cups that say Happy Mother's Day. They are tired of them. They say they've got 20 of the little things. They don't need any more.
Like the little coffee mugs?
That's it. They don't want any more of those coffee mugs.
Well, I guess I better go and send some things back then.
That's right. Send it back. Don't harass them. What they want, they've told me, a spa day.
Ooh.
A spa day.
Nice.
And then several other mothers said this. If I could have a day without the children, you know, when you've got three, four little kids, you know, it's pretty harrowing at all times.
Yeah.
They said, just a day of rest. Let me have a day just to myself to rest.
It sounds pretty terrible.
No laundry, no breakfast, no lunch. Just give me that day, please. They said it's worth more than all the money in the world. Just give them a day.
Yeah, well, I mean, being a mother is very hard work, and it's 24/7. It doesn't get off. You don't have a day off. You don't have much of downtime. And mothers are very, very appreciated because a lot of it is so, I guess, under the radar. It doesn't get all that recognition, and people don't really realize how difficult being a mother is. So I can understand a little bit of rest would be great.
Well, and see, it's like this. If children are sick, who gets up at night?
Exactly.
The mother.
Yeah.
If they're in bed all week, mother's got to be on call 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter when you're getting ready to go somewhere. It's the mother that does all the work. Under all the clothes, get everything ready. And this takes, you know, 2 or 3 days. And then you come home from a trip, she's the one that's got to wash all the clothes, do all this, you know. And the other thing mother said was a trip would be wonderful.
Oh.
You know, now I'm thinking Paris, but I think they're talking about Paris, Texas. You're not probably thinking as far as I'm thinking. But
you're shooting
a
for
nice
the moon.
Trip. That's right. But all the mothers told me.
Wow.
A trip would be wonderful. Just getting away for a weekend. And mostly without the children, by the way. I didn't want to say that, but that's what they said.
Yeah.
You know, if they just had a weekend, you know, sun and surf, you know, eating at a wonderful restaurant at night, going out on the beach or swimming, and just rest. I think they just need some rest.
Yeah.
And a lot of them said a night out, a grown-up night out,
mm-hmm.
you know, with just their husband. You know, candlelight, that type of restaurant. We're not talking about Bob's Big Boy.
Yeah.
Okay. They don't want to go there, and or a good theater. Take them to the theater. There's a lot of plays on right now. They love it. Or if you have to, just take them to a movie with popcorn. But they're not going to be happy.
Yeah.
That's not what they're asking for.
Something nice, a little extra special.
Extra special one time.
Yeah.
They're not asking for a week of it, just one time.
Yeah. Of course,
and,
now, a week is well deserved. Actually, several weeks would be well deserved.
It really would. And they love flowers. They all said flowers are wonderful. And they said candy, a little bit's fine, but if you give them too much, they're afraid they'll gain weight. So they don't want to gain any weight. But the spa deal was number one. Lingerie, that was another big one. They said, you know, they're tired of the flannel pajamas and the regular pajamas. They want something really nice.
Silk.
So, silk, that's what they're talking about.
Nice.
And so that was a big deal. If they haven't been to the beauty shop lately for the full deal, they would like to go to the beauty shop and get the full deal.
Yeah. Not just run in and run out in 20 minutes.
No. You know, like when you know you have to be home in an hour, you run in and get your hair thrown together and you leave.
Yeah.
They're thinking something a little more special than that.
Yeah. Get the blowout and the fingernails. Yeah,
everything.
And
the color. If the color's getting gray, they need to go get the color, you know, maybe a little trim. They're talking about something really nice.
A day of pampering.
A Day of Pampering. I believe that comes out number one on their list. They do.
I can see that.
Nice massage. Just don't leave that out.
Oh, that would be nice. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, if they had a whole day of this, by nighttime, they'd just be floating around, you know? They'd say,
yeah.
I have had a marvelous day. So that's my opinion. Now then, let's talk about when Mother's Day started. Do you remember all this?
I don't, no.
Okay. Mother's Day was started by Anna Jarvis, okay? Anna Jarvis had worked as a nurse, as everything else, and her mother passed away. And when her mother passed away, Anna Jarvis said, you know, I want a day of celebration for my mother. And this is in 1908. So they held a memorial for her mother at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia. And the Methodist Church there now holds the International Mother's Day Shrine. And she wanted to do all this, but she didn't want it to be commercial. And when Mother's Day caught on, she was fighting it then. She thought it just went too far. Her mother was a peace activist, and her mother cared for wounded soldiers on both sides in the American Civil War. And she had created Mother's Day clubs and a lot of, you know, good things. And so then, in 1908, the U.S. Congress rejected a proposal to make it an official holiday. Can you imagine? If there had been enough mothers back then, that wouldn't have happened.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Anna Jarvis, by her efforts, of course, in 1911, all U.S. states started to observe the holiday. Well, and then, of course, the first one was in West Virginia. But then in 1914, Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation designating Mother's Day to be held on the second Sunday in May as a national holiday. And even though she was successful in doing all this, she resented it. She said, it's becoming commercial. It should be one mother at a time. There shouldn't be store-bought cards. I mean, she was really on to them about that.
No, boy.
And then, of course, you know, carnations came out, and everybody associated with Mother's Day was selling carnations. As you know, it was red if your mother was alive. It was white, you know, if they had passed away. And then she was making such a mess, they arrested Anna Jarvis for disturbing the peace because she was mad. She said, there shouldn't be all this. And then Hallmark began, and Hallmark started making, you know, Mother's Day cards. Well, that really had her up in arms. She thought that had just had gone too far.
She would have a fit if she saw what was going on today.
Oh, she would be out here on every street corner and be arrested every week, probably. And then in 1912, this is shocking, she trademarked the phrases Second Sunday in May and Mother's Day. She trademarked it.
Really?
She owns that. She owned that. Can you imagine?
Wow.
I was just, I didn't even know you could trademark anything in 1912.
I guess I didn't either. And it seems like it would be too broad of a thing to trademark, but
that's right.
Maybe standards were different back then.
I think so. And our country was so small as far as population, she got both of them trademarked. And then U.S. President Woodrow Wilson, finally, in 1914, made it a permanent holiday. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah. In 1914, they finally got up the courage to do it. And it's just an amazing story that this woman wanted to honor her mother, but she wanted one mother at a time, and she wanted to be a handwritten sign, and she didn't want Hallmark making cards, and she didn't want the florist shop selling carnations.
Wow.
And, and so her mother had been a peace activist, and so she wasn't very peaceful. You know, she was on the street corners yelling and taking on, and of course they arrested her for disturbing the peace. and I don't know how many times even.
It sounds like after raising all that cane and getting arrested, she needed a Mother's Day to go ahead and relax.
I think she did. But she saw Mother's Day as different than the rest of us.
Yeah.
You know, when people start doing it. They love the beautiful cards. They love the carnations. I think that's where the beginning of the flower run became, because everybody said, oh, these flowers are beautiful, and they heard mothers commenting on them. And men said, this is an easy deal. We'll just go get some flowers.
It is not easy, because if you mess this up, this could be very bad.
It could be very bad because, you know, every year it gets harder and harder to buy flowers late.
Oh, yeah.
They just don't have them. They sell millions and millions of flowers on Mother's Day. And many people, I know, I've had friends that tried to get them late, and they just said, we're sorry. We're sold out. We had reservations for every flower. We ordered and ordered, and we ordered what we thought we needed, and we sold them.
Yeah.
And that's usually on Friday by noon yesterday. The flower shops, most of them would have been sold out.
Yeah.
So if you don't have them, you might go to the grocery store and try to buy them, and I don't even know if you can get them there this late.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to do these things early. And, you know, they said, other than Easter and Christmas, more people will go to church tomorrow than any other holiday.
Really?
Because they will take their mother or their wife, they will take them to church. Yeah, and if it's their mother, they all take their mom to church on Mother's Day.
And then you've got lunch afterwards.
That's right. Then you've got to have that reservation tomorrow mm-hmm. for that lunch that we always talk about.
Yeah.
You better have that done. If you don't, I feel very, very sorry for you.
Well, boy, I know the original plan was not to make it a big deal with all the flowers and the cards, but boy, I tell you what, I'm really glad that it's become this, because I think it's really important to make such a big deal out of Mother's Day. In fact, if there was a way to make it even a bigger deal, I think many people would be open to that as well, because moms do so much and they're so underappreciated. We just don't say it enough. We don't always show our appreciation for everything that they do. And so that's why it's you know, even just one day a year, it's a really, really big deal.
It is, and you know, it could be a whole weekend, and it wouldn't be too much.
Exactly,
because mothers are the ones that hold the family together. They're the ones that take care of the little and the big things.
Yeah,
the husbands, they just kind of come home and eat and go to bed and mm-hmm. watch TV and do all this. Now, I do know a lot of husbands, including mine. He always helped with the dishes. He did so many things. Always made sure my car was filled with gas. That's another thing husbands could do. And the other thing, he went to the cleaners every Saturday. He picked up the cleaning. And he had a routine of things I'm going to do for my wife on the weekend. And he did it.
That's very nice.
And until he passed away, I did not know how to fill up my car with gas.
Really?
He'd done it all my life, all the years we were married. And he would make out the grocery list on Saturday. He took care of that.
Wow.
He said, no, today is your day. You go to the beauty shop. You do all the things you want to do. I'll see you later this afternoon.
Well, that is so kind. He sounds like an ideal husband. We could all take notes.
And all my friends said, can we borrow him and get him to go do ours? Oh, my gosh. Because... and I got a note once from somebody who sang in the choir, and this guy sent us a little note and said, I love seeing you and Ralph sitting out there in the congregation holding hands.
Oh,
wasn't that
sweet.
Neat?
Yeah.
It was very, very sweet. But everybody knew what kind of a man he was, and that he thought that it was his job to make my job a lot easier.
Well, and it's also so great that he thought of you as such a special lady that he would do those things for you. That's very nice. Speaks highly of both of you.
I thought it was, too. Yeah. And so I would recommend that all husbands try that, and it will make your life much sweeter and nicer.
It's very inspiring. Happy Mother's Day to you, Faye.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And so to all the mothers, we want to say Happy Mother's Day for tomorrow, and we hope that we've inspired the husbands to... go forward.
go forward and do your husbandly things.
That's right. Do all these things as a surprise and they'll be talking about you next week everywhere in town. They'll be telling their friends, something's wrong. Oh, Ed, you know, did all this for me.
Yeah.
Did he wreck the car? I mean, what could he have done that he would suddenly do all this? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it's brilliant. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're right next to Ivy Cottage, and you know how wonderful they are. So you know we're at 3105, right next door.
So when it comes to retirement, it seems to me, and I know this is kind of a general statement, but it seems to me like there may be three tiers of people. Ones who have no idea if they're ready for retirement. Some who have some idea of a vague, okay, we're kind of close, we might need this, what we would refer to as the guessers. And probably the third tier would be those who have extensively planned. Is that a fairly accurate assessment?
Yes. There's some people that plan even their day-to-day. They'll have a little notebook or it'll be on their iPhone. And they've got everything planned. Then we have the people that, you know, the procrastinators, that everything is on their desk, but it's been there 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they have not got anything done. Then we have the others that are halfway there, you know. They've been looking at their statement. They know there's a problem, and they're going to get it fixed, but they've got money in all different places.
Yeah.
They've got the CDs that they still don't have moved. They're, you know, making 1%. They intended to move the CDs. They've got an IRA that's, you know, it's a mutual fund IRA. Now, those can lose money just like the stock fund, okay?
Yeah.
Because they're not a fixed rate annuity. And then they've still got all the stock, but they haven't got all this organized inside how to do it. They really need help. So that's the person that comes to me and says, Faye, I've got all these different accounts. I need help. If you remember, a month ago, a gentleman walked in the office, had an appointment, and said, Faye, I've got money at 5 places.
Oh, wow.
He said, I want to move it all over to you, put it in one account, and do me some good.
And he's much happier now, isn't he?
Now he's happy. He said he could not keep up with 5 accounts.
Yeah, that's a bit
and
nice.
I told him, most people can't. And when we put it in the account, you can pull it up online and look to see what all your investment is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's simple. It'll say you're in the Jones policy, Smith policy, Owens. You know, it'll tell you all the different policies that you're in.
So investors always know what's going on with every single investment at all times. They have access to it. Everything is as transparent as though it's as a glass window. They can see everything. They have access to all of the information they need. And the bottom line is to go ahead and retire and to continue retirement in a healthy way, you've got to start planning. So regardless of where you are on the scale, if you're, you know, extensively planned or if you're just kind of like not really sure, you got stuck, but you're not really sure what's where, you still need to go and start, and you can help with all of it. So, Faye, I know you're not there in the office. There's people that take the weekend off, but you'll be there first thing on Monday, and you have availability for appointments next week, right?
I do, and I've already got some appointments on Wednesday, but we can take some more. And, yes, I'm going to be pretty busy, but if people will get that call made on Monday or Tuesday, we can still see them this week.
Perfect. And one last time, Faye, what's your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring.
Happy Mother's Day, Faye.
Thanks. Bye.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.